Welcome to Mimika TV. I'm your host, Mimika Cooney. Get ready to break through barriers, fuel your faith, pursue your purpose, and market your message so you can impact the marketplace for God.
So welcome everybody to the new format of the Mimika TV show. I'm your host, Mimika Cooney. I am so excited to have our guest, Althea McIntyre, with us today. And we are recording this live. If you're listening to the replay, because this will go on our audio podcast, welcome. But what we've decided to do is switch the show to live, because personally, I like live where you can get interaction. People can ask questions. We can have involved in the chat. So we're going to like kind of look around and we'll be chatting about a topic, which I think is going to be really relevant. And Althea is really good about this. So let me read her bio right quick for you, so we know exactly where she's coming from. So Althea McIntyre is the founder and CEO of The Best Career For Me, Power and Soul Work. She's a certified CPA, business coach, and mentor, and she helps Christ-centered female coaches, consultants, and experts make money from their God-given gifts. She empowers them to trust in God as they grow in their impact and income, and be spirit-led and aligned with God's will in their business. She's been featured in many publications like Ebony Jet and Today's Purpose Woman, and many more. So I'm so excited to have you with me. So welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm saying welcome. Well, I'm going to welcome your audience and thank you for having me.
So I'm excited to talk to you again, because we did record a podcast way back in January, but considering what's happened with the world, I reckon, you know what, scrap that. Let's do this over and let's have a live chat, because I think this is something relevant that we can all learn about, especially for those of us who are maybe at home, or there might be two sides of the boat. So in the chat as well, let us know what sort of side of the boat you are. Have you really been online? You have a business and you're wondering how to grow that? Or if you've not even considered having a business, how do you do that? Because this is one thing I love to talk about, is using your skills, especially the ones that God has given us for His glory. So tell our audience a little bit about that concept, Althea, and how you actually got doing what you're doing today.
Yeah, so I've been coaching professionally since 2005, and it wasn't until 2016, through a period of disobedience and then getting into alignment with God, that I really focused on Christ-centered female coaches, consultants, and experts, and aligning. That's when I aligned, really fully aligned my business with God's will. And so what I know and what I help my clients is that as a Christ-centered business owner, as a kingdom builder, our businesses are just a vehicle to expand the kingdom. Our businesses are just a vehicle for God's glory to be experienced by our customers, by our clients, by our partners, by our vendors. So using your business, you know, if you accept the assignment, knowing that this is God's business, you are just a steward of it, and your business should, in every aspect, show God's glory.
I love that, especially if you know you've got gifts and talents that maybe you haven't really thought about how it could be put into a business concept. Because here's the thing, is that, you know, God gives us these things, just like in the story of the talents. If He gives you talents, He expects you to multiply them. He doesn't expect you to bury them in the ground. So it's not, I think the first thing I want to point out, because sometimes I hear this, is we need to make that mindset shift that we are valuable and what we have to offer is of value. And people can pay us for what we know, from our skills, our talents. Because wouldn't you agree, Althea, if somebody has a problem and you are the solution, you're withholding a solution if you're not putting yourself out there and providing that.
I actually think it's a huge disservice. I mean, I'm taking a strong stance. I believe if you are not letting those who God called you to serve know that you are a solution, and you're not inviting them to work with you when you know in your hearts of hearts that you can help them, then you are actually a disservice to them, that you're actually blocking what God has in store for the world. So yes, you absolutely have to not only own your value, but understand that you selling is a highest level of serving. And by not inviting people to work with you, by not creating offers where people can experience, you know, the gifts that you've been given, it's actually a disservice.
Exactly. And I love what you said. It's not selling, it's service, because if someone is needing something, like if you go online and you go on Amazon or Google and you're searching for something, you are willing to pay money for this item or this service or this product because you have this need. And I think that's a big thing, especially with us that work online in the coaching and consulting and entrepreneurial space. You know, we need to make offers. We need to be able to provide things that people are looking for and solutions, because at the end of the day, people are willing to pay and find value if you can save them time, save them money, or make them money. So how would you then transition? So somebody who say, for instance, maybe even who's been working in a job, or maybe they have not even considered how they can transition online, what advice would you give them in order to start shifting to really provide that value?
Well, the first thing needs to be your mindset, because what I find is there's a big lie that is rampant throughout the Christian community. And that lie is that Christians do not invest in their business. Like, you know, Christians don't invest four figures, five figures in their business, that they only want things free. So the first thing that needs to happen is you need to look at your mindset. What are the lies that you are believing that are not of God, that is stopping you from launching your business, that is stopping you from serving the clients that God called you to serve, that is stopping you from creating offers that you know will help those who God called you to serve? Really looking at your mindset and identifying what is lies from the author of all lies and what is truth that is found and backed up by the Bible.
Exactly, because God expects us, you know, to be good stewards, and we do have that value. So once we understand that there is that problem solution that goes with it, and that we are able to get over that, over ourselves, because really, I think a lot of the time we think that, well, if we, especially when you're starting out in business, you say, well, I don't have a lot of money to invest in my business, so probably everybody else is in the same boat. I think that's a wrong assumption, because here's the thing. Wouldn't you agree, Althea, that if you have a problem, and it's like you're willing to make that pain go away. And sometimes it really doesn't matter what it costs. But now on the other caveat side, let's say this for a moment. We are not talking about this. We'll say this up front. We're not talking about trying to make as much money off of people, because that's also the wrong mindset, right? It's not that you are trying to steal or take away from something. You are adding value. Wouldn't you say that's also another mindset issue?
It is. What I'm talking about and what I help my clients is how to sell God's way. So what is God's way? God's way is peace. It's joy. It's abundance. It's patience. It's not getting over on someone. So the way that where I'm talking about the whole overarching is, are you selling your services God's way? And so that means both in your mindset and every aspect of the sales process. Every aspect is God. Are you doing how God would do it? Are you being spirit-led in the process? So I do actually want to address when those who are saying, you know, Christians don't invest. That's a lie. And how do I know it's a lie? I'm a Christian and I invest. And, you know, if so right there, it's a lie, you know. I'm a Christian and I invest four figures, five figures. I just made a four-figure investment in my business a couple weeks ago. And what I have found, though, is that those who say that Christians don't invest, they typically are not the ones investing in their business. So how would you do it God's way? My question to you would be, did God tell you to invest in your business with a particular individual? And it doesn't even matter the investment level, because wherever you are, you know, $297 can feel like a huge investment equal to someone who $15,000. It can feel the same to someone who's investing at $15,000, depending on where you are. But have you said yes to God? When he told you, make that investment, did you invest in that level, or did you second guess him? Did you doubt him? Did you backtalk him? Did you say, well, now's not a right time? Did you look at only the facts, maybe your schedule or your bank account? Or did you act in faith, knowing that an investment in your business is an investment in the kingdom and God pays back his investments with interest? So that, I really want to address that. I also want to say something that's very critical, because this is something that I'm going to be speaking more on, that God's really placed on my heart, because I've met so many gifted Christ-centered female coaches, consultants, and experts who want to glorify God in their business, but there is some business gaps, and they are going to need a Moses for them to get the development and the training as a Joshua. That means they're going to have to invest, right, to get that information and not Google it or try to get the freebie, because I don't believe in the kingdom that God is about, let me get the cheapest way. No, he's about abundance. So that was a long answer to your question, and I don't even know if I answered it, but hopefully I did.
Yes, you did. And I think that's what's important, because we really are wanting to encourage those listening that no matter the circumstances, like right now, a lot of us are still in quarantine, and our first instinct is to take a fear approach, like, oh, can't invest money, can't do this, can't grow my business. And in actual fact, these are the times where you should start thinking with a growth mindset, like, hey, if everybody else has cut their budgets, and this is true, right? Advertising has suddenly got cheaper, or if there are less competition, how can I take this area in this market and you know, really saturate it with what I have to offer, as well as understanding that what people need, what you have right now, you know, there's no point in holding it back. So I love that idea of, you know, knowing that you have you want to grow. And that's the thing, just like any business, no matter whether you're a Christian or not, in order to grow, you need to invest, whether it's time, money, or resources. So for those of us who are listening, who are in that stage, to say, okay, no matter what's happening in the world, some people are losing their jobs, some people are cutting back, but here's an opportunity. What would you say the first step should be for them, and how they can start moving forward, so in 3 or 6 or 9 or 12 months, they're in a much better position than they were before all of this happened?
Okay, so I'm going to share three things. So number one, remember that there's heaven's economy. There's heaven's economy. And we see it in the Bible, right? What did Jesus do with loaves of bread and some fish? What did Jesus do with oil? So things can be happening in the world, but God has a different economy. So I really want you to embrace what God's thoughts are around money and abundance and business ownership, because he loves business. Number two, and that's something that's ongoing. Number two, this is where you need to absolutely gain clarity. I'm going to say crystal clarity of who God called you to serve. Who are these individuals? Where do they hang out online and offline? What is the biggest challenge that they're facing right now that they'll pay almost anything to get solved? What's the way in which they learn best? What are they looking for in a program for them to say yes? You have to absolutely have clarity of that. And it's going to come two ways. It's going to come from God revealing to you as you're in prayer and as you're in worship. It's also going to come from market research, okay? And you, whether that's you researching your and really looking at your A plus clients, right? Those ones who achieved radical results, the ones who you lit up every time you get to work with, the ones who did their homework, right? So whether if you've already been working with those, you want to really look at those individuals, or you're going to do market research to those you haven't yet served. And there's many ways you can do that. But you have to have crystal clarity of who you're called to serve and knowing how to reach them, and make sure your messaging connects to their soul. And your messaging should also have the fruits of the Spirit. It should have peace. It should have joy. And remember, Jesus did not back down when he spoke the truth. So your messaging also has to speak truth to those who have maybe fallen asleep and dulled out their pain, and really wake them up to what is going on. So that's the second thing, okay? Really gaining clarity, crystal clarity of who you are called to serve. And I, you know, two ways to look at worship and looking at your clients or market research. And then the third thing is, now's the time. And, you know, and I'm giving really big buckets, but this is the time, you know, and God's going to, you have to be sensitive to Holy Spirit, right? You know, you've got to be sensitive to what Holy Spirit wants you to do. And I say this because when COVID really made a turn in mid-March, and I sought the Lord. And I said, God, what do you want me to do at this time? And I meant, God, what do you want me to offer? But his response to me was worship. And I said, okay. So I began to worship for a number of weeks and really focusing on worship. And through that, God gave me a strategy that had me have a client enroll themselves in a $15,000 plus program a couple weeks ago. Okay. So then the third step is you make offers, right? Invite people. And let me back this up. So you know your ideal client, you know what they need to help them solve the program, how they'll learn best, what they're looking for in a coach and a consultant. And you have to then know and have a sales process. You know, this is a skill. We can't skip over this. This is not the time that you can wing it on sales conversations. You have to know how to lead a sales conversation. You have to know how to address objections. You have to know how to navigate a client through their choices, whether they're going to stay in their fear and doubt, or they're going to say yes to, you know, freedom and abundance and God's will. You have to know how to do this. You cannot at this time wing it. And when you have offers that are 5K, 10K, 15K, you know, those individuals are ready to invest. But like anyone, they want to make sure that they're making a sound investment, that they're making the right decision. And they're looking for a leader, i.e. you, to lead them through the process so that they know the decision they've made is a right choice today. And those are just really three. If you nail those three things, right, have the mindset, know who your ideal client's crystal clear, and know and have a sales process and sales skills, you will be able to sell your high-level offers God's way in any economy.
Exactly. And I think that's some great insights, because if you think about it, and when you're investing, you know, we can't be worried about the figure that we're charging. It's based on value. My husband and I have this argument the whole time about how do you, yes, you know, explain your value. And in his view, he owns a software company. He's like, I'm willing to spend 10 grand on something if it's going to make me like 50 or 100. If as long as there is a return on my investment, there's a value proposition in what you are providing. Again, you know, saving time, saving money. But also, you know, with God's economy, it doesn't work like the world. Sometimes you invest something and all of a sudden you get 10, 100 times fold. So I think that's what's exciting. So let me go to the chat real quick. So we have got Michelle, Denise, Jonathan, Yolanda, Kimberly. So thanks for joining us. So Kimberly said, my message this year to my customers is to choose joy. They expect to hear it from me and I'm hearing them repeat it back. So the fruit of the spirit in your workplace, answering them definitely resonates. Clarity and also learning proper skills as well. Good nuggets of advice. So thanks for that, Kimberly. So also Michelle said the mindset shift is key. And Kimberly said, God's using my businesses through this time to build relationships, and the byproduct is producing all the blessings. So that's one thing I think we could talk about is also like when you're serving people, you don't necessarily feel like you're selling, because then all of a sudden they realize the value. So how would you, if somebody is saying, well, I know I have these skills, like say I'm a marketing consultant, how do I position myself to provide that value so somebody does want to invest in me without me having to be like overtly salesy as such? Because I think there's a shift why we're like, oh, I'm being friendly. Now I'm being salesy. Yeah. Oh, I'm being friendly. Yes. It doesn't have to be like that.
Yes. Okay. You know where I'm going to start. I'm going to start with the mind. And this is very important. This is something that God really did a work in me beginning of last year. And understanding that God is your source for wealth. God is your provider, right? There's millions of scripture. Not your clients, not your customers. God is your source for wealth. You are a resource, and so is your clients. Now, why is that important? When you realize that when I'm talking to a prospective client, right? And if you're thinking, I need this client, I need this client, I need this client, that energy, that neediness, that, oh my God, I need this to, you know, pay my car note, pay my mortgage, they're going to feel that. They're going to feel that. And whether they can describe it or not, or We've all felt that, right? When it's like, you're not listening to me, you're just trying to get your quota. But when you really understand they're not the source, God is, you enter the sales conversation very differently. You're really wanting to understand what are their issues, what are their challenges, what are their goals, and can I confidently say that I can help them? Because two things, I am confident on my value and the results I help my clients achieve, and I'm confident on the way that I help my clients achieve their results. So right there, that's going to take some pressure off of you. It's also going to have you be bold in your sales conversations and not try to be friendly and have them like you and, oh, I don't want to say the right thing and I'm worried. Do they like me? Do they think I'm pushy? No, you're going to be the leader that you are. You're going to come to serve them. Just like if you go to a doctor and you have a serious condition, the doctor is not looking for you to like them. The doctor is telling you your diagnosis, right? And how they can help you, or your treatment plan. Okay, there's no like, and it's very clear. And if you choose not to go with their recommended treatment plan, they don't shame you. They just say, okay, I understand you want to get another referral. Not a problem, but I recommend X, Y, and Z. And so in the sale, if you're taking that approach, and again, that comes from knowing that God is your provider, and that relieves that pressure, that pain, that you're going to have different sales conversations. There's going to be a trust, and the prospective client, whether they can describe it or not, will feel that. Listen, I had speaking to a prospective client a couple weeks ago, and I knew that I could help them. And I was like, wait, I was also waiting and like checking in with Holy Spirit. And my clients know this. I'll tell them if I'm silent, I want to make sure I'm checking in with Holy Spirit. And I felt in Holy Spirit saying like, I could help you. But also I didn't hear a definite red light and I didn't hear a definite green light, which you will hear when you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so when I shared it with this individual and they said, I know you can help me, but I'm kind of getting a yellow light. And I said, that makes complete sense because I feel that way too. And so they thanked me and said, gosh, Althea, I experienced so much peace and so much joy. Thank you so much. They got value from that conversation. And I didn't make an offer to them. You know what I mean? But I sold in God's way. Now we don't know, God does, if they'll eventually be a client. But there's so much peace in that where I was operating in God's way. And so that would be the way that will help you not be pushy, not be salesy, not be desperate, but be confident, be bold, be authentic, and be the servant leader that God created you to be.
Exactly. So it's not that we have to be begging for the business, or we have to be desperate for the business, because that's a very, as you said, a dangerous situation to be. Because I made that mistake a few years ago as well, being so desperate just to reach that quota to, you know, pay the bills, took on a client and very quickly realized they were not a good fit for me, and there was just constant friction, and eventually it went sour. And you know, it leaves a bitter taste in people's mouth. If you were not the person to serve that person, it's okay to let them go. Because I think back those days of, you know, Jerry Maguire, show me the money, and that whole push sales thing, it doesn't work anymore, because people want authentic connection. They want to know, if I'm going to be spending 6 months with you, I want to know that I like you. You know, is this, you know, is there resonance, and knowing that there's a connection, and also if this is the right timing. So I love how you said that even though you can have a conversation, not every conversation has to end in an offer, because maybe there was something you were positioned to say to that person that day that might open them up to something from someone else, or maybe it's a timing thing.
Yes.
Because wouldn't you say that's another thing, is the timing?
Absolutely. I want to be very clear here. Also, I make offers and people say no. Right? And, you know, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's not now. And if I feel I'm very confident, if I feel from Holy Spirit and I know in my hearts and hearts that I can help them, but there's free will, right? They choose, they too have to say yes to God and themselves to work with me. And sometimes they don't say it. So I want I think this is a good segue. I want you to embrace your no's. No is a part of the process, okay? You will get more no's than you get yes. In fact, your yes to your 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, 3,000, right? 300 lives in the land of no's. And from someone who used to be so afraid of rejection, so afraid of what people might think, I was very reluctant to invite people to work with me. If you're in that camp where the thought of hearing no just freezes you up, I want you to know that there's some bondage there, but God can free you. And no is not personal. No is not never, right? And that no, experiencing no's are part of the process. Okay. So, and there's really fun ways that I work with my clients to embrace the no's where will help you shift your mindset around them.
I love that. Embracing the no's. My husband and I, when we started our internet business, we used to laugh about this because we started doing sales back in, this is the 90s when, you didn't really have dial up internet. And we used to make a game out of it. Like for every 10 no's, you get closer to your yes. You're like, yeah, I got another no. I'm closer to my yes. I know that just the way that math works, that eventually you're going to get there, but the expectation is that you need to just do that and just go through the process. And I think I love how you said that, you mentioned the word rejection. And I think a lot of people have that bondage. I mean, for years, I had that same mindset of, I don't want people to say no. And, what if there's something wrong with me? And then you get rejected and it's like, oh, fall apart. We're now, okay, that's good. We weren't a good fit. We can move on. And then there's growth in that. And that's what I really want to encourage everyone today. And I know that it's so super valuable and will really help you. So no matter what the economy is doing and what everybody else do, we don't have to look at what's going on social media and listen to the negative, fear mongering, because there is opportunity everywhere.
I mean, there is.
When something goes down, inevitably it goes up. And I think now is a great time for all of us, especially as believers, to position ourselves to get ready to say, okay, God, when everything goes back, where do you want me positioned? What do you want me to do? Who are my people? Because I had this same thing, thinking I needed to be all things to all people. And then God showed me that story of Moses. Yes, he led 2 million people out of Egypt, but he could not manage them all. He had tribe leaders. So if we think about it, we are all in God's army. And he is assigning tribe leaders, and each tribe, there was 12 tribes, and within them had leaders upon leaders. So we all have our part to play. Yes. And once we know how we fit into this grand army and puzzle, it's so relieving knowing, I don't have to worry about that. That's her problem. This is just mine. I'm just going to focus right here.
And and that's another point. I mean, when you're talking with someone, you're like, oh no, I would love to refer you to a colleague of mine. Like, based on now that I'm talking with you, actually, this would be a better fit for you, right? And that's another way of serving. I want us to look at sales and sales conversations and not be afraid of them. Listen, if I can embrace and love sales, I mean, God had to reveal this to me. I used to be on the other side. So I get the nervousness before you make a phone call and, afraid to hear no. If that is you, I'm telling you, there's another side. But they're also, like you said, and I love how you broke that down, there's different tribe leaders. And again, that's how you can also serve in your sales conversations, or actually even before, if you have a sales process where there's some qualifying going, that you can refer them to someone, that you believe, based on, their answers, would be a better fit.
And that's why I also believe that there's no competition in Christ. Like, we all have our gifts and talents and abilities that we can serve people where they're at. But if we are not a good fit, that we know that with confidence, we can refer them on to someone who will be able to help them, that perhaps their story resonates or that particular result, because people pay for results. They don't pay for features. So that's what they're looking for. So that is really encouraging. But I got to say, I really appreciate you spending this time with me, Althea. You got so many nuggets of truth that I hope my audience has really enjoyed. So let me hop back quickly and check the chat. Let me see here. Michelle said, confidence is really key and causes us to lean in the Holy Spirit. That's great. That's correct. And Pam says, that's good, Althea. Embrace the no's. Not there yet, but getting better at it. So that is fabulous. So definitely everyone resonating with that. So we can just get used to embracing the no's. And no, it's getting us closer to the yes. And then we are aligning with what God wants us to do.
Yes.
Because there's such freedom. And like you said, clarity. It's like when you put on the glasses and you're like, oh, I can see where I'm going. It's amazing.
Yes. I want to talk about this no's because it was something that I really struggled with. When you embrace the no's, I want you to begin to know that you're learning. You're learning how to be more confident in sales calls. You're learning, you know, what to ask and when to ask. I mean, I really want you to take it on. And like Wamika says, because it's the same game that I have my clients play, like, you know, you win by getting no's, right? So it just shifts your mindset, right? I win by getting no's, and you cannot lose because you win by getting no's and the yeses are in the no's. But as you're collecting your no's, you can begin like, oh, you know, how can I share my offers better? What stories do I need to share? Because stories tell, stories sell, facts tell, that will help my clients really know that I'm the one. So as you are in that process of embracing the no's, it's a developmental process, okay? I really want you to know that there's learning and there's growth. The other key thing, and I'll just leave it here, is if you're not getting no's, then that's an indication you're not playing a bigger game. You know, no's let you know, like, you are getting outside of your comfort zone. You are trusting God when God nudges you and says, reach out to this individual or follow up with this individual. Like, no's is an indication, right, that you are playing at your highest level, your highest potential, okay? And so I want you to, you know, as you embrace the no, say this is your learning and developmental process, because we can always, 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 always learn and grow, right, leaders? Like, we never stop doing that.
Exactly. And that's what I say, the more we keep moving and we leading and we learning, and as we learn, you know, we help those that we are destined to help. And there's always growth. Like, what I know now is more than what I knew 2 or 5 years ago. And that's fine. And there were people at that stage who needed me then, as well as, which I think is also good to point out, is sometimes it's good to walk away and know, you know what, for myself, even though a client might say, no, I don't want to work with you, even for yourself, wouldn't you say that's important to know, like, okay, this is not going to be a good fit for me. Even though they desperately want me, I need to walk away.
Yes. And that's a part of it too. That's another way of selling God's way. You know, you don't want to find yourself in a situation, I found myself here, where you have enrolled a wrong fit client. There's nothing wrong with them, but you weren't assigned to them. And they are not implementing the strategies that you share with them. They're not getting the results that you know your ideal clients can get. They're frustrated. They're building up resentment. And then you may begin to question yourself. And that doubt will come in and say, like, do I really know what I'm doing? It ruins all, it, like, it has an impact on your confidence, right? It makes you doubt, at least this is what I've experienced, and I've seen my clients experience this. It makes you doubt what God said. And it could also impact your reputation, right? You're the leader, right? You are ahead of your ideal clients. And you know, like, I'm not able to help you. And you can really say confidently, this is what I say, this would not be a good investment for you.
Totally. I mean, it's almost like they would be surprised. It's like, what? You don't want to take my money? But that's the thing, is it's not about that. It's about whether you can find the right fit client, because at the end of the day, if you can get them the result they're looking for, then, you know, happy client results in great testimonials, which means more business growth. Where if the opposite, like you said, if they get resentful, they don't do the work, they were not in the position to be able to get the results, then everyone gets frustrated. So
yes,
great lessons.
And then, you know, here's the other thing that I'm learning more and more each day. You're here to serve your clients, but your clients have a gift for you too. Remember, your clients have been assigned to you from God. So there's this interchange. And I'm working with my coach, and I mean, he's taught me so many things. And he'll say, you know, listen, there's certain criteria that he's pretty no-nonsense, because he knows his value. You know, he's like, if a client is more than 7 minutes late for a session, I cancel it, because it's an exchange of energy. He's like, And he did this to me, actually. He was like, don't book another session until you complete your homework. You know, and he, and because he's like, it's not about the money. It's an exchange, right? And I needed to hear that because there were some things I was procrastinating on because of fear and doubt and some other stuff. But I really have learned from him and adopted that. Like, again, we're talking high level clients. Keep the bar high, right? Don't lower it down. If God has called you to serve those clients, keep the bar high. They'll appreciate and value it.
Exactly. Because there's a proven concept that you value more what you invest more in. So in other words, the higher the price tag, the more invested the client will be because they want to get their money's worth. If they're only paying you like $10 or $20, they're like, oh, well, and don't even get me started about free. I've learned the hard lessons with free too. Free isn't value because that the recipient doesn't value free. Even if it's some exchange of money, it is a great way of providing that accountability because the more you are invested, the more you know you need to put in the effort to get that results. Because that's the end of the day, right? We want those results. We want to be able to transform people's lives and help them. So that is so encouraging.
Right. And also know for some people, $1,000 a month is other person's $10 a month. Okay. You know, so understand that you may find yourself, you know, I was in corporate for several years and in my corporate life, I wasn't a VP at a VP level, but when I was coaching executives, I coached executives at the VP and the C-suite level. And initially when they were reaching out to me, I had, you know, some like doubt and fear came up. I'm like, oh my God, am I not qualified and I'm not enough? And thank God I had a coach that there who walked me through. They weren't hiring me to advance to the C level or the VP level. That's not what they were hiring me for. So I'm saying two things. If you're wondering, you know, this is why it's so important to know the value that you bring to your clients, the results that you bring and how you bring it. And know that for some, you know, $1,000 is chump change. And I'm not just saying price it, but it's also, there should be a stretch, right? Like when that hits my card, no, like I need to be invested in it. So I hope that helps.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's a great way of really putting it that way. So let's see here. Shaya says, keep the bar high. I love it. And Kimberly said, embracing the nose key. It'll actually do what you think it won't do. It's building a muscle. It hurts a bit mostly first, but then you get used to handling it and then you're able to handle it the way. She says, it looks like I need to grow. I haven't heard no in a while. Exactly. So that is some great encouragement. So if you haven't had that, the nose that you think, okay, maybe I'm not making enough offers or I'm not like putting myself out there. So I think that's some great encouragement. But you've shared so much valuable information today, Althea. I really appreciate it. We've all got a mini coaching session. So even if you have just hopped on, make sure to go back and watch the replay and then also share it with your friends. Like go ahead and click those buttons below, whether you are on the computer or your cell phone. Go and share this. We are going to be keeping this up so you can go back and listen to what we've had, Althea's had to say today. So tell everybody, what's the best place they can find you and connect with you online?
Yes. So you can always find me at thebestcareerforme.com. That's thebestcareerforme.com. And you can find me at your favorite social media site, my first and last name, Althea McIntyre. I love, 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 love to hang out on YouTube and LinkedIn, but I'm at all the your favorite social media sites.
Perfect. Well, definitely make sure to reach out with Althea and let her know you heard her and saw her on the Mamika TV podcast show. And we are so excited. We've been able to have this interaction with our viewers and our audience who've given us their great comments. So thank you. I got to mention, thanks to Denise and Shaya, Kimberly, Pam, Nicole, Michelle, let's see, we got Jonathan, Yolanda, Denise, Trisha, Adria. Thanks so much, everybody, for hopping online and actually staying with us and watching. We are so excited and honored that you've been part of the experience today. And if you haven't yet gone to like the Facebook page, make sure to go and click that so you can and click on notifications because I'm going to be doing these live shows weekly. So make sure to click that so you know when I'm online. And then if you want more free resources that I only share with my newsletter community, go to mamikakuni.com and go grab some resources there. We have a variety of things that will help you build your business, your brand, and help you to start putting your gifts and talents out there the way God designed it. So I've got to say thanks again, Althea, for joining me. And thanks everyone for watching. It's been great.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.